Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, yeah. A podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Now, here's your host, Jake.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jake, and I'm back with another episode of Good Company, coming at you again from yet another random place. This week, we have traveled all over from Solomons, Maryland to North Augusta, South Carolina, and across the border over into Georgia a couple times. And now here we are tonight in the Wolf's Den here just outside East.
The Wolf Trap.
The Wolf Trap, you're right.
The Wolf Trap.
Is there a difference between a den and a trap?
I believe the trap is used to trap the wolves. And
the wolves or the wolves?
Well, both. The wolves.
The wolves.
Yeah. Zzz. I think the F plays. The F sound plays, but I think it's more of a V in the spelling.
We are here at the Wolf's Trap. Wolf Trap.
It's actually Wolf Trap.
All right. We're at the Wolf Trap. And what is the exact name of the town that this is in? Because that's always a tricky thing when you're playing a show somewhere and you might know the town. Like last night, we were in North Augusta. Okay, I understand where we were. I knew exactly where we were. I was there all day. I talked to a lot of great people there, from EMTs to the guys that were police officers. We played golf. But I've realized last night I was saying North Augusta, Georgia, and it was really upsetting some people that knew that we were not in Georgia. We were in South Carolina. So my apologies to those folks. No harm meant by that. But today we are here just outside D.C. in a town called, are you trying to figure that out right now?
No, the address is 1551 Trap Road, Vienna, Virginia.
Vienna, Virginia is where we are right now. And I'm joined today by, not just today, the last few days, my buddy Ryan Parsons.
Yes.
That's who you hear on the other mic over there.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's nice to have you, Ryan. Ryan and I went to college together. We met, do you remember the first time I met you?
Yeah, I do. We met at a Rush event, for Fraternity
for
Rush.
Fraternity at, yep, Florida State
at Florida
University.
State, that's correct.
And it was a Rush event for Sigma Chi.
That's correct.
Which you ended up pledging and going,
yep,
through all the...
And
all,
yep, and lived in the, yep, became a brother and lived in the house and did that whole
And then got a
deal.
Frat two.
And I have the frat two to prove it.
A frat tat on his inside
left ankle. Yep.
Sigma Chi Alpha Epsilon.
Good try. Epsilon, what? Zeta. That's not actually bad.
Yeah,
Epsilon Zeta was
Epsilon
our chapter.
Epsilon Zeta.
Yeah.
So were you president?
No.
You never were?
No.
Why not? Looking back on it, would you have liked to have been?
Probably not. That comes with a lot of problems and headaches and dealing
and plus,
with the cops.
You were too busy being a rock star in a band called Yeehaw Junction.
Yeah, one of the more famous bands ever come out of North Florida.
Yeah. Tell me about that band.
Yeah. So Yeehaw Junction was started... Well, it happened just like this. My buddy Josh at the time, Owen, came to me and he's like, hey, man, we should start a band. I play drums. He was playing guitar and he was playing on you. We're playing on Barstools.
Are we talking about me now?
We're talking about you. Sorry. Yeah, we're talking about you. And you were playing on like Barstools around town. And
fraternity parties.
And fraternity parties and like had a good following. People knew who you were, but like it was country, it was John Mayer, it was Dave Matthews, it was kind of this like
all
cool,
over the place.
Yeah, like this cool mix of like college band music at the time. And I remember you came to me and you're like, hey man, we should start a country band. And I didn't necessarily grow up as a country fan. I didn't not like it. It's just not all we did, but I know that you did, and your dad had a big influence on that, and those tapes and records that he played for you as a kid, you loved all that stuff. So I said, hey, listen, man, if you can play the drums, if you can clap, you can play the drums. So I can clap to country, so I can play the drums to country. And we started this band called Yeehaw Junction. And Yeehaw Junction, for those of you not familiar with the center section of Florida.
The turnpike, there's an exit there. I don't know the number of the exit, do you?
No, but I have a picture of it, and I'll find it by the time we're done here.
But the exit is called Yeehaw Junction.
But it is...
And it connects... It's where the turnpike in Florida connects to Highway 60
to go to Vera,
which runs basically east and west across the state of Florida, that can connect Vero Beach, where I grew up, to Tampa, basically Winter Haven, where I grew up, where I was born, Haines City area, Polk County to be exact.
So Yeehaw Junction, the township, whatever this, it's not a, I don't know, is a city, I don't know, is about halfway between Orlando and Vero. I mean, I think that's the kind of the idea, like, hey, let's call this thing Yeehaw Junction. Remember our logo?
Yeah, we had a donkey.
I think we straight up stole the donkey from Shrek and put a sombrero on it because that was the only clip art we could find.
You're right.
It definitely wasn't a cowboy hat.
It was a sombrero was a on sombrero. Top of the donkey.
And then
it
our said slogan.
The most fun you could have with a jackass.
Yeah. Oh man,
we sold a lot of those t-shirts. I actually have one of those t-shirts, I think, back at my place in Nashville. I think I sent you a picture of it, actually.
Yeah, I have one too, in a box full of college stuff, including other things I also don't fit in, but I do.
So we started this band. We played all over, and then I don't know, we played for a few years, I think.
Yeah, just to give anybody that's listening a little background on this. So we have this conversation. We went and like rented a storage unit where
yeah,
we would practice, like a rehearsal. I mean, we were taking this somewhat seriously, but we hadn't played a gig and we didn't know how it was going to work. And at the time I was working at this
Dave Armentrout played bass for us.
Yep.
Dave's last name Armentrout. We used to call him Leg and Snapper.
Leg and Snapper. Yeah.
Because his real name was Armentrout, so we renamed him to Leg and Snapper.
Yeah.
So thanks, Dave, Leg and Snapper, for all those low end bass notes you played.
Remember his bass? He had like
the Gibson Explorer.
Yes.
That his uncle gave him.
Yeah, which is not exactly what I would term a country looking bass.
No, but that's
it was awesome.
Leg and Snapper came through with it.
So
then we had Dan.
Yeah.
Dan was a bouncer at Potbelly's and told us he played guitar.
Yeah.
Like, we need a guitar player.
Yeah, he was a good player.
He was really good.
He was really
he
good.
Played
player.
A lot of Allman Brothers.
Yeah, he liked that Southern
Jerry
rock stuff.
Jeff Walker.
Yep.
So we started that band. We played all over and played at fraternity parties, sorority parties, downtown get downs.
Yeah. I remember that our first show, which I think is kind of a cool story, is the guy who owned the bar, Dan, who owned Potbelly's.
Yes.
I went to him and said, because I was working there at the time, and I said, hey, you know, I was helping him book bands. I go, hey, I got a band. He's like, you do? I said, yeah. And he goes, all right, you know the drill. If you're a new band here and I've never heard you, I don't know what you can do, you get the door. I said, deal. So Jake, you and I went out and the other guys and like put posters up. Remember flyers, like these
we had
promo
a bunch
shots.
Of people in there that night. They couldn't even get in there.
We charged $5 at the door. I think he had to pay us like $4,500 or $5,000 that night. And after that, he's like, you're not getting the door anymore. then he went to us like a set deal with us that was, all right, you guys can play every other Saturday night and then every home game. And so we kind of became like the house favorite, the house band. And man, we had so much fun. We brought so many
Yeehaw Junction.
Oh man, we brought so many like different groups of guys, people together and stuff, because it was all about having a good time. And I could just remember those times just like they were yesterday, a long time ago. But
so I decided that I was going to leave Tallahassee and move to Nashville, because I enjoyed that aspect of playing music for people and playing live and playing my songs. But I kind of figured that I'd hit my point in Tallahassee where I needed to just get out of there and get to Nashville if that's what I was going to do. And so you had at the time, what, like a semester of school left or a year
of school
left?
Yeah, something like that.
And you stayed back and went to work selling real estate?
Yeah, I went to work for my family. But, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, how long ago it was, but you were doing what you were doing. Your deal hadn't hit in Nashville.
Yeah.
And we would call each other and say, hey, let's go play a show in Tallahassee.
And I'd come back down. You'd drive up.
Yeah, you'd drive down. I'd drive up and we'd go get paid. I would make more money playing music with you on Saturdays at Popular's than I was at first starting the real estate business. It was awesome.
That was cool. So
was
now
really
you're
cool.
A dad of three kids.
That's right. Yeah.
You have a little less hair than you had when we were in college,
That's
even though
true.
You didn't have that much in college either.
I feel like I had a lot more than I do now.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
But so you're a father of three,
yep.
A husband.
yep.
to a wife that lets you come on the road now with me all these years later.
That's right.
And ride around on a tour bus and talk on a podcast.
Do you know that the first time I ever met my wife, my now wife?
Was that a Yeehaw Junction show?
100%. You and I played.
So in a way, Yeehaw Junction
yes.
was the reason.
That's correct.
That you and your wife got together.
Kind of.
And your kids have been made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, yes, because we played.
What a powerful band.
The 80 Pie bid day, right? She's a freshman. She just got her bid at 80 Pie. And there are these sexy dudes up on the 80 Pie porch slinging country music. And that was the first time we ever met.
Probably but we playing drums and loafers.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
So we're not cowboy shoes. Those hurt my feet.
Cowboy shoes.
So, we ultimately didn't start dating until years later, but yeah, that was our first encounter.
Do you remember Ando, by the way, is sitting here on the bus with his radio over his shoulder, and I'm prepared. Do you remember the days of watching the band Yeehaw Junction play?
Just the first couple songs. After that, I was drunk and don't remember anything.
We've already had Ando on before talking about how he had a passion at the time for Jaeger bombs. Like all he drank. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't?
No.
Yeah. All.
I don't either.
Yeah. All Ando drank was Jaeger bombs, and or he would just take a shot of Jaeger basically, and then just pound like a Red Bull, right?
That was your deal?
I'd take a shot of Jaeger and just take a sip of Red Bull. Because those bars would charge you way too much for. But I made Red Bull go far, economical.
Oh, you did like one extended Jaeger bomb.
Yeah.
Do you have any good stories that you can bring up on this podcast about, I mean, for those out there that would like to hear a good college story about us or me or something where it'd be entertaining? I know you usually have some pretty good stories, Parsons.
I do. I do.
Ryan Parsons, by the way, joining us here today.
Thanks
college
for having
drummer
me.
Drummer of the band Yeehaw Junction.
I appreciate you, buds. I appreciate you having me. I appreciate you saying that. You're certainly one of my best buddies and Ando, too. I mean, we all go back. Really, I mean, to college, I don't know how much truth there is of this story. This is at least the way I remember it, is that, you know, we were getting some traction in town, and we wanted to get a new PA system.
Yeah.
Remember that? The Mackie 808 we ended up getting?
Yeah.
And Ando was the head of the Southgate, that dorm, and he had us come play a Southgate event, and I like to think he, like, gratuitously overpaid us.
Yeah, he totally overpaid us so we could pay for a PA system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in a way, Ando is responsible for getting the band to sound better. So therefore, you 80 Pi would have us play at their sorority house.
You're onto something.
We sounded so good at that sorority house that your wife heard us playing.
Yes.
Zoned in on you.
Unlikely, but yes.
You guys hit it off. And here we are all these years later. You have three kids thanks to Ando helping us out buying that PA system.
I haven't even gotten a thank you card.
You know, I owe you a big. Although I can assure you that my wife wasn't zoned in on me then. I'm no kidding. I would have been so scared to talk to her how good looking she was. She would have made me nervous.
Was your girl? Your wife
then
still
and
is.
Now? Of course she is now. But you get courage over the years.
But it is interesting because it's funny, you know. People know that I've been married and divorced, and I don't advocate that or anything, but I admire my friends that, like y'all that are married, you have three kids.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Like, being married isn't always easy, especially being a traveling, you know, kind of guy. And Ando, your wife, you know, supports you. You have two kids at home, and you travel all the time with me. And it was interesting watching Parsons the other day, talking to your wife and basically talking her off of a cliff,
about a metaphorical cliff, by
metaphorical,
the way.
Yeah, metaphorically speaking, she was about to lose it over.
We had some stuff done at the house, and the contractor made a mistake. And
but okay, whatever. But what did it all really boil down to?
I'm not entirely sure what I'm supposed to say here.
Wallpaper.
Yeah, wallpaper.
You were sitting here on the couch telling her everything was going to be okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
The wallpaper was messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that real? I mean, like, would you say to those out there that are listening, that are married, that have kids, I mean, is that, would they be shaking their head right now going, yeah, it's totally something I deal with on a daily basis?
100%. If you're listening to this right now and you are married And let me be really clear. I am absolutely crazy about my wife. I'm the luckiest guy in the world.
Of course,
you
love your wife. And I love your wife. And she loves me.
No, absolutely.
And, but it's still funny to hear, to watch you sit there.
She'll likely kill you for bringing this up.
Who cares? This is why this is funny. Because this show is called Good Company, and it's about being with good people that tell good stories and the memories. And you were cracking me up because you were being so just sincere about how okay it was going to be when you get home this coming week, and it's all going to be okay. We'll fix this wallpaper situation and blah, blah, blah. And I just started laughing because you're sitting there having a serious in-depth conversation about wallpaper.
So here's the thing. I think I think everyone that's listening would agree with this if they're married, and particularly those who travel. And I'm fortunate enough in my job, I don't have to travel that much, but just being gone for a couple of days, you know, she's home. We've got three little kids, Jack, Bo, and Burke. You know, they're wearing on her, right? Because kids will do that to you. And then it's like one more thing. And I think the wallpaper was the straw that broke the camel's back. So, yes. Yes, I think it's a very normal thing. Ando, would you agree that this is a normal thing?
Don't bring me into this.
Yeah, I didn't think
so. Do you
so.
Kind of feel like right there, like Parsons was kind of trying to kind of like cushion that whole thing because you feel like maybe Sandra's going to be upset that we're talking about this wallpaper situation?
Oh, I don't think she'll be upset
about
it.
You can blame it. Sandra, if you're listening, which you probably will, you can blame this completely on me because I brought this story up and I actually thought it was hilarious that you guys were having a meltdown over wallpaper.
I think Parsons has to go home to Sandra and you and I don't. So
yeah, but like there's times where I listen to you out here with your wife and you love your wife more than anything, and there's times where like you guys are talking about something like what?
The dog peed on the floor.
Yeah, dog peed on the floor and
it's a big deal. Not there.
Yeah. Or, you know.
Yeah. I do know.
Should we move on and get away from these types of conversations?
Please. Please. Right away.
Okay, so you've done a lot of things, Parsons, with me outside of just riding around on a bus and watching music. I mean, you've caddied out at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, and we get to do that and travel out there each year. That's a lot of fun.
It's a blast. We, I'll say this for the people to hear, and I'll say it to you. I've been so blessed and fortunate to be able to do some of the things that I've been able to do, and they're a direct result of you know, your contacts and your success and your hard work and our friendship. And I'm so grateful for that. I mean, eternally grateful.
Likewise.
Son and I both. And it's just really fun to have become like to be treated part of the family. I mean, Ando's there. We're always joking like there's a tree, right? And there's only a few guys in the tree, and I've always just felt like that, and I really, really appreciate that. And the Pebble thing has been incredible. I mean, watching you play out there has been awesome. Carrying the bag's been awesome. We've had some great dinners with some really, really cool people. And I don't know if you guys have ever talked about that out here or on your podcast.
Yeah, no, I mean, we haven't. There's so much we haven't talked about on the show, which is kind of why it was fun to just kind of get together with you and talk. But the stories is what makes, I think, this show fun, telling things that people are tuned in and want to hear about our life outside of music and the fun opportunities and places that we get to go and the people we get to meet. And we've had moments where we're just sitting there having a beer with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. A funny story, I guess, about Pebble would be, I think it was the first year I went. And there's, I don't know, 8 or 10 of us at the table, and it was a pretty power packed table, and not to drop names, but go ahead and get a broom. Cause I'm getting ready to
go ahead and get a broom.
So at our table was, you know, country
just to protect the innocent.
At our table was country star and legend, Jake Owen, greatest hockey player of all time, Wayne Gretzky, the number one golfer in the world at the time, Jordan Spieth, the number two golfer at the time, Dustin Johnson, and me, and everyone in the restaurant's trying to figure out who I am. They probably thought like, this guy's either got a ton of money or what's going on here. Like, who's this guy?
That was fun. That's fun to hang out with those guys, because it's always funny to put people on pedestals. You know, I know you mentioned the greatest hockey player, the number one golfers in the world, but they're all just normal people at the
awesome
end of the day.
People.
And I think you can see that too,
totally,
coming out and hanging like that.
Yep.
Is that it's nice to be around other people that kind of make you realize as well that everyone's the same. I mean, we're just, people might slap a hockey puck around, or someone might sing a song, or you might be, you know, selling insurance, but we all put our pants on one leg at a time.
Well, you know, and one thing I think I'd say too is a, as a testament to the kind of guy that you are, is a kind of friend that you are, and you know, Ando would totally agree with this. If you're talking
he
to
he might not totally agree with you.
You're going to wait to what
I'm
I say?
Gonna hold on.
Okay. You don't like implied niceness?
No.
Okay. We won't imply any niceness. I, you know, when I've met some of these, you know, big time or famous people and been introduced to them by you as, you know, one of your good friends or one of your best friends, it's like the connection's instant, right? I mean, like, you've got such credibility with these people that the people you surround yourself with are like, they're just welcomed right in. And that's, I mean, that says a lot about your character and the type of guy that you are, that they want to spend time, you know, with the people that you want to spend time with. And that's, yeah, that's really cool. That's a really cool trait that you have. You've always been really inclusive about stuff like that. And I that's, a lot of people recognize that, and it's really cool.
So
do
what
you
agree,
Ando?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he agrees. What do you, what would you say, kind of closing this thing up, with you traveling on the road, for those out there that don't know what it's like to get on a bus and travel day to day to a show, and then what you do while you're, you know, the first day we played golf, whatever, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I had a pretty stellar round of golf.
Okay, so this was incredible. We played a extremely nice golf course in the South Carolina, Georgia area. Let's leave it at that. Without,
I told
Canada,
you I was going to roll you up too.
Did you ever? I mean, you played so good. would you miss a 4-footer on 18 to shoot 69 or something? So, I mean, I thought it was a 66. It was, you played great. I don't think you missed a shot.
I was
a couple
lucky
chip ins. You played
you
great.
Missed a lot of shots.
Oh my gosh.
You're really mad at yourself.
I'm very upset with my play.
Maybe, but this gets us back to it. Possibly your play was due to the fact that you just, your body is not made up and built properly to take the wear and tear of being on the road as a touring musician.
Well, so I, you know, I've, again, over the years been very fortunate to do this, and I've been very fortunate that my wife encourages it. She loves it when we get to spend together, time together. But I don't think people that are listening who've never done it don't realize what kind of toll this will take on your body. I mean, it's not, you know,
because you have an unbelievable body.
It is actually unbelievable in some respect. But, you know, this first of all, you're sleeping in this particular run, we're sleeping in a moving bus that's jostling back and forth.
Love and that word.
You like that word, jostling?
Yes.
That's jostling back and forth, it's swaying, it's loud. If you're just not used to it, it's, you know, I'm the only, you know, movement in my bed is when my kids come in. I'm not used to that's not the only movement, but I'm not used to it's the only regular movement. I'm not used to the moving around, and there's weird noises. I will say, in a bunk, it's like 62 degrees and totally pitch dark. It's like a time machine. You get back there, you get in the time machine, then you wake up and you're somewhere else.
It's pretty cool, right?
It's really cool. But, you know, it's just, it's not your house. It's not even your house. It's where you guys live most of the time. But, you know, it's a late night. It's a
and
lot of...
Wouldn't you say you live in this bus more than you live at your own house?
More than likely, yeah. I haven't crunched the numbers, but I'd say I'd spend probably more time on this bus than I do at my house.
Can you put a spreadsheet together for us?
Can you please put a spreadsheet together, crunch those numbers?
Yeah, yeah.
The, you know, it's weird. Like, you know, everyone out there and they're listening, you know, they
did
wake
Andrew
up...
Did go to the gym today?
Totally.
Did you go to the gym today?
Of course he did.
Ask him if he went to the gym.
Did
you
go
to
the
gym
today,
Ando?
Yeah, both of you guys are still sleeping.
I was lonely.
Ando,
don't get all passive aggressive.
He seems a little sensitive today. And when he doesn't go to the gym, he gets sensitive.
I'm not touching that. But, you know, you wake up and, like, I'm used to waking up, taking a shower, getting something to eat, and then going about my day. And here you wake up and, you know, for the, you know, most of the guys out here, it's, you know, take your bag into the venue, take a shower in like a locker room shower. Then you go to catering breakfast, and, you know, it's great food.
But you never know what you're going to get.
Exactly. It's not like walking your
kitchen.
It's like
kitchen. A box of chocolates.
Exactly. And it's just, it's a, like a day like today up here.
It's been raining all day.
We don't have TV. No sports to watch. So it's just, we've been hanging out, and don't get me wrong, it's been a blast.
We wrote a song. I was telling Parsons that I want to start writing some children's songs for my little girl Pearl, and, you know, he's got kids as well, so be fun. As much as we now know being a parent and the fun things that go along with teaching your kids fun stuff, and they're very pliable when it comes to their minds and their creativity. So we started writing a song about elephants. They weigh how many pounds?
15,000 pounds.
And sea turtles?
Lay about 200 eggs a day.
And?
Bees can pollinate over 2,000 flowers. And ponies can run up to 15 miles per hour. So I think our premise is like all these numbers are compiling, but, you know, as your dad, we love you. Dad and mom, we love you more than all these numbers together. So maybe we could play the final cut for them once it's finished.
Yeah, we should probably do that. And if you don't mind, before we get out of here, could you maybe give us a little commentating in the voice of the great Gene Deckerhoff that does all the Florida State games? And maybe get like take us out about the fact that you guys are just listening to Good Company Podcast. You're Ryan Parsons. I'm Jake. Make sure you catch us next time. And then add anything else about just the road out here. I'd really love to hear a Gene Deckerhoff send off.
You want to hear about the road and Gene Deckerhoff's voice?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm really only good at Gene Deckerhoff when I'm calling plays.
Well, just imagine, call this as like the plays of today.
So just imagine this. Jake Owen drops back in the shotgun. He finds Ando in the corner, too short. Then he sees Parsons on the left side of the end zone, throws it back there. Touchdown, Jake Owen. Touchdown, Florida State. Go, Noles.
Fire the cannons.
Oh, yeah, that's the Bucks. Fire those cannons. That's my best Gene Deckerhoff I got right
that's
there.
That's awesome. Well, thank you, Parsons, for talking to us on the Good Company Podcast. You were out here on the road, so I figured we had to have you on.
Yeah, and, I appreciate it very much.
I'm sure everybody enjoyed hearing you and hearing some of the stories of our past, and there'll be many more to come in our journeys, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, I will leave your fans and listeners with this thought, and that is I just so appreciate you and your whole family, and Ando and your crew have always been so welcoming to me and my family, not just on the road, but outside. And I'm grateful for our friendship. I don't think the world knows that my middle son is named after your family. His name is Brandon Owen. We call him Bo. And that's just real special to me that to be able to do that. And
heck yeah, man.
I appreciate our friendship more than you know.
Well, likewise, man. Appreciate you being on here.
Awesome.
It's good company.
Fire the cannons.
Fire those cannons.
See y'all.